It's off to Leonard, defended by Simmons. Is this the dagger?
NBA Straya. How you going? That's right, man. It's NBA Straya. It's Monday, May 18. I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA playoffs today as we break down and wrap up after every single day of NBA action while repping Straya. Just a little bit, mate. That's what we do. All right. What an absolutely cooked weekend of NBA action. It was absolutely wild. We had a massive Game 6 on Saturday and two huge Game 7s today. And we now have our conference finalists set. Nice. So it's going to be covered with the weekend winners and losers. We've got all the usual demastery as well of That's Not an iPhone, Mate, No Mate, Sputter the Night. And better than Lonzo Ball. Of course, there's Yeah Nah. There's the unpopular opinion of the day. There's even an Outback Takehouse where we're serving up a flame grilled take. We've also got a brand new Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award for outstanding achievement in the field of excellence. And with no games tomorrow, we're going to look at the odds for the lottery, which would be pretty cool. And we're going to close out with a brand new deli review. Nice. He's delved into the old Netflix's deli this week. So that's pretty good. All right. This one's going to be good. At least I hope it is. Let's get to it. It's NBA Straya episode 284. Let's go.
This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
You better. Oh, you better watch out for the attack of clamps. Kawhi. Leonard, if you're the Philadelphia 76ers, oh, I guess you better watch out for the attack of CJ McCollum. If you're the Denver Nuggets, or Steph Preteen Curry, if you're the Houston Rockets. Wow, that was a good weekend, wasn't it? Holy crap. Weapons everywhere. This was wild. All right, let's start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Straya with the Daily Whip around, and that's right, we didn't even mention at the top of the show because there's so much going on, but the Lakers.
The Lakers stink!
And they also have a new coach. That's right, the Lakers. They've hired Frank Vogel. Woo! Ah, nothing makes me happier than hiring Frank Vogel and then getting Jason Do you want this knife that I just placed gently into your back, sir? Kid, to be his lead assistant. Oh, but it's not. Oh, it's not actually a lead assistant. We don't use titles like lead assistant. He's just like the first among equals. Lakers. Only you could try to spin like hiring the guy who went a combined 110 losses and 54 wins in these last two like seasons as a head coach and think that's a good thing. Yep. That's right, man. 54 and 110. 54 and 110. It's almost like the person in charge of making these decisions,
Kurt Rambis,
also has a horrible track record as a head coach.
41 and 151.
Remarkable lack of foresight from the Lakers here to let Kurt Rambis be in charge of hiring another spud coach. The best part is this it actually broke over the weekend as well after Frank Vogel's announcement as the new Laker coach. That Kurt Rambis was orchestrating the Vogel hiring. He also made the move for Jason Kidd apparently, with one rival executive even calling Kurt Rambis the Lakers' shadow president. Ooh, I love the Kurt Rambis era. This is great. Four more beers. Yeah, anyway, so there you go. Frank Vogel Jason Kidd and now your Lakers Brains Trust, which is just amazing. Other news, Kristaps Porzingis, that's right, the supercharged Zinger Burger.
Supercharged Zinger Burger.
Apparently got jumped in his hometown of Liepāja and Latvia. Hello. According to TMZ, Kristaps was jumped in a nightclub by some Russians who were upset that he's no longer on the Knicks. Nice one. Hello, it's Porzingis. Yeah. He's not playing for Knicks no more, no? No, therefore we hate this man, yes? Let's jump him. Kristaps had a big gash on his head. Looking at the video footage, which is pretty crazy. Hopefully the Mavs big man is okay. Waiting for more news to come out of this. But either way, it's pretty wild. I mean, Kristaps, you got to be rolling like five dudes deep like the Joker would be once he's back in Serbia, right? A couple of those big brothers of yours. Kristaps, you can't be just out there like with that fucking volleyball player frame of yours hanging out, trying to get that end wet. You're going to get jumped by Russians. That's how it goes. I also love that they were Russians. Just because they were wearing Timberlands doesn't mean they were Knicks fans, but it probably does. Nice one. There you go. Hopefully the zinger's okay. Hopefully there's nothing weird going on. Injury news. We also had a report over the weekend that DeMarcus Cousins, Boogie, is on track to return during the Western Conference Finals now. Unreal. The last report we had was that it might be during the actual finals. He might get a bit of a cameo. He's coming back a lot quicker. So we might get the Coward Snake Kevin Durant and DeMarcus Boogie Cousins back in the Western Conference Finals. Nice. All right, cool. Well, there's the news. Let's do some weekend winners and some weekend losers, shall we? Weekend winners.
Oh, my God. I won! I won! Ah! Recapping our day's top story, the winner of today's state lottery is...
Me!
Me,
Ken Brockman.
Can we get a shot of me?
There you go.
In other news, tragic mix-up today in Cleveland. Many people killed. Goodbye.
I love it. Weekend winners, yes. After a massive weekend of NBA action, who do you reckon the weekend winners are? Well, right off the bat, we'll go with the Warriors. That's right, man. Without their best player, they smoked the Rockets on their floor. Houston, you have a problem. You can't beat the Warriors. Warriors, come out and play. Yeah, that's right, man. The Warriors are now definitely in the Rockets' heads, right? Like, that was such a shitting in the bed that my four-month-old, he's even like, shit, that's pretty bad, man. Oh, Jesus. I haven't even come close. I mean, his nappies don't leak. James Harden's apparently do. God damn. Other winners, Steph Curry, the legend grows. 33 second half points. He was absolutely unreal. Killing the Rockets dead. You just know that there's a preteen shape stalking Daryl Morey's dreams. A puby beard floating through his head and just going, God damn it. Numbers, 33 points and a half. And so on and so forth. But good job, Steph. He was unreal. The legend continues. He just goes, oh, thanks, Clay, for being amazing in the first half. I didn't hit a shot. I'll take over from here. And bang, the Warriors win. The other weekend winners are the Currys in general. That's right. Even Seth the shit one Curry, after having an absolute Barry Crocker shocker in Game 7 today, he's a bit of a winner because this will be the first time that brothers have ever played against each other in an NBA Conference Finals, meaning that Sonya and Del Curry, Steph and Seth the shit one's parents, apparently, we'll be flipping a coin to split which kid to root for / which parent wears which team's gear. Oh, that's nice, isn't it? Good on you. Speaking of which, the Blazers are weekend winners. Woo! Way to go, Portland. PDX Pete is hopefully somewhere shit-faced right now. They get to go to the Western Conference Finals for the first time since 2000. The Jailblazers are now a distant memory. All the promise and hurt and unfulfilled potential of Greg Oden, Brandon Roy, and LaMarcus Aldridge is now washed away. Dame and CJ have made it to the Western Conference Finals. Absolutely unreal. Great job, Blazers. Definitely weekend winners. Everybody in Portland, Oregon, off their chops, no doubt. Got that legalized marijuana up there too. Nice. Other weekend winners are the Raptors, the Toronto Raptors, the Kawhi. Trade is officially worth it no matter what happens now, man. That shot that he hit. Absolutely neck level. Absolutely wild. That's a Canadian heritage moment. I mean, holy shit. We've got Brocky fanging down the back of Mount Panorama. And the Raptors have now got Kawhi hitting that shot. Even if they don't make it out of the Eastern Conference Finals, it's going to be nice to think of the Raptors for something else other than getting the shit pumped out of them by LeBron James. Good job, Raptors. That's a win. Kawhi. Also a weekend winner. He's going to be forgiven by the Raptors fans pretty quickly when it's once he actually goes to the Clippers now, won't he? So you're going to take that as a bit of a win for Kawhi. Whatever move he makes this offseason, everyone's going to be like, ah, whatever. He hit that fucking series winner in game 7, mate. That's unreal. A couple of other weekend winners. Frank Vogel. Unreal. He's going to get paid 3 years salary for 3 months work by the time Jason Kidd turns around and stabs you in the back. I love it. And the other weekend winner is Jason Kidd because he gets to be Lakers coach. But James, he's only an assistant. Yeah. Yeah, he's only an assistant until they're 12 and 14 and he gets shit canned. He gets moved up and Fogel shit canned and gets paid out for 3 years. Nice one. There's some weekend winners. There's a lot of them. Good job, Raptors, Blazers, Warriors, and also the last weekend winner, the Bucks. Everybody's forgotten about how good the Bucks were in absolutely kicking the crap out of Boston last week. Meanwhile, they're just sort of sitting around healing up. Oh, that's another injury, I guess, as well. Pau Gasol is not going to be around. He's having surgery, so... Yeah, no shit. All right, let's get to our weekend losers, shall we?
We're not losers.
No, you two are winners, big winners. When I grow up, I want to marry a big winner like you guys.
Shut up. Loser.
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 Nice one. Weekend losers, James Harden, MVP my ass. Come through in one big game, James. You ain't worthy. Until then, you're just a bearded Alex English in my fucking books, mate. James Harden, all I want you to do is step up and go, all right, fuck it, we're not losing. Instead, a couple of times last 2 years straight, you've gone, oh, I'm afraid of the Warriors. And crap the bed. Speaking of which, Chris Paul, weekend loser. I mean... I feel like everyone needs to quiet down with the old, he's one of the best point guards of all time. Oh, yeah? It's weird how every one of his teams falls pretty short of even making the finals, isn't it? Just make one finals, Chris Paul. Cool it with the fucking State Farm commercials and make a fucking finals, you flog. Anyway, weekend losers, the Clippers. But James, they didn't play. Sure. But Kawhi did, and wow. I mean, I did add that, it's easy for Kawhi to leave now because the Raps fans can't really hate him because he gave them that amazing moment. At the same time, for the Clippers, you've got to be like, ah, fuck. If the Raptors had have lost in that exact moment, Kawhi was gone. G-A-W-N, gone. But he lives. He's in Toronto, Eastern Conference Finals. Here we go. Let's see what happens. That's a bit of a blow to the old Clippers. I'm not saying they're out of the running, but man, it's a bit tougher than it was. Other weekend losers, the Nuggets. But James, they're a young team. Yes, they did great popping the Spurs and beating them in 7, but still. The big names went missing at the most crucial moments of the season at home, so you got to feel a bit disappointed. But at the same time, look, they'll be back. They'll be fine. Jamal Murray will be better and older. Joker will be better and older. Maybe fitter. They get Michael Porter Jr. next year. That's pretty good. They might even play Isaiah Thomas. Who knows? But for the moment, for a 2-seed to go out in the semis, it's inevitably disappointing, isn't it? Just beaten by a better team on the day. But yeah, to lose game 7 at home, that's hurt right in your heart, doesn't it, Nugs? And our weekend loser, Paul Grillsap. That's right. He's not Thrillsap anymore. He's not Millsap. He's headed straight to the Grillsap. For a bloke who's been there before and is essentially being paid $30 million to be the veteran presence and cool head in a game 7, to go 3-13 is pretty fucking on the nose. Just saying. Other weekend losers, the Sixers. Wow. Do you reckon there'll be much debate about their offseason? What do you reckon? What do you reckon? Do you think there will be? Will there be some? I don't know. Will the Sixers be talked about? Whoa, geez. Brett Brown can't coach. Fire him. Who's better? I don't know. I mean, get the fuck out of here. I still think Brett Brown should just like be able to stick with it for a bit. Embiid shoots too much. Jimmy Butts, he's not good enough. Ben Simmons can't shoot yet. Tobias Harris fades. Whew, going to be a lot of ink spilt. But I mean, my point is always going to be Brett Brown, who's the better coach out there that doesn't have a gig right now? What, are you going to hire Mark fucking Jackson? Get the fuck out of here. Tibbs? Yeah, Jimmy Butler would love that. Hey, I've been traded. I need to get away from Minnesota. I'm in Philly. Jimmy, I've got some news. We've thanks for signing on for us for another 5 years. We just hired Tibbs as a coach. God damn it. Jimmy Butler. Yeah, I don't know. What, Mark Jackson, Jeff Van Gundy? Do you want Ty Lue coaching the Sixers? Get the fuck out of here. Tell me, like, the better names out there where you're like, oh, I feel much better about him as the coach than Brett Brown. He went missing. We're going to talk about this later, but Jesus, I don't know. Sixers are definitely weekend losers. They lost the series. Everyone's going to be fucking pulling their hair out and losing their minds all offseason about them. So let the games begin, I guess. And finally, Ben Simmons, weekend loser. Yep, it's a tough one. Hurts me in my heart. I just want to see Simo in the Eastern Conference Finals. That's all I want. And he's going to be ripped apart, torn down all summer. And it's going to suck. We're still in your corner there, Big Simo, Ben Simmons. Box Hill, Benny, we love you. At the same time, you've got to score more than 13 points in a game 7. Talk about that later. All right, let's wrap up the game, shall we? We'll fly through this because we all know what happened. Game 6, Golden State, Houston. I was at the footy for this one. Watching it on my phone at the G. 118-113, Golden State win thanks to a huge first half by Klay Thompson keeping them in it. And then a huge second half by Steph absolutely smoking in the second half. There's obviously no coward snake Kevin Durant for this game. Steph goes off his rocker. And the Rockets shit the bed in the fourth quarter, up 7 in the fourth. 13-point turnaround, end up 5-point losers. Shit, whatever. And there you go. Steph, 33 points in the second half after going over 5 in the first half. Absolutely wild. Absolutely wild. Fast Jimmy Harden craps the bed, goes missing in the biggest moment possible. Eric Gordon was absolutely horrible. He had 19 points, wasn't it? Shit, hang on a second. I wrote that one down, didn't I? Where are you? There we go. No, it was 9 points. Fuck. Thought as much. I thought he was shit. 9 points, 4 assists, 4 of 10. Way to show up, Eric. But also, James Harden, 35 points and 8 rebounds. Oh, but James, that's a really good stat line. Yeah, not if you watch the fucking game. Disappeared basically down the stretch. It's like, oh, it's just such a hassle for me to do stuff. The only reason they sort of kept climbing back in this game was because of Harden. But at the same time, he shouldn't be the one clawing them back. He should be the one like going, all right, we're ahead. I'm going to fucking put the old foot on the throat. We're going to win this. And he didn't do it. Chris Paul was the only one who showed a little bit of fight, especially at the start of the fourth quarter. He ended up shooting 11 of 19, probably one of his better games. 3 of 6 from 3, 27 points, 11 rebounds and 6 assists. But the weird stat of Harden and Chris Paul not scoring over 30 points in a game together still rules, which is fucking wild. Clint Capella had 10 and 10. PJ Tucker had a man's game again, 15 points, 4 rebounds. Was tough as hell, but there's a couple of missed shots late as well that really sank him. The bench for the Rockets, Austin Rivers. I mean, when you're relying on Austin Rivers, you've dug your own grave, haven't you? 9 points on 3-6 shooting for him. Shumpert went 0-for. In 11 minutes. Didn't even take a shot. Geraldo Green more than made up for that, though. Did Gerald. 12 minutes, 9 shots. he's not shy, his old Geraldo Green. 6 points, 2 of 9 shooting, 2 of 7 from downtown. Jesus. And Nene got out there for 9 minutes and 2 points. But yeah, the Rockets, as per usual, the D'Antoni team come up short against a better coach and a better team. It's tough to watch. You just hate to see it. And obviously on the Warriors, no coward snake, Kevin Durant. They started Bogut. It's a big bogey. Got out there for 12 minutes, ran around. As mentioned, though, Steph, 33, came alive in the second. All of the points came in the second half. Absolutely wild. Klay Thompson at 21 in the first half, ends up with 27. He was unreal. Just an absolute fucking flamethrower in that first half. Draymond chucked in 8, 10, and 7. Iggy was really important as well. He hit 5 of 8 from 3. And when Iguodala's hitting 5 threes, you're fucking cooked. For the bench, I mean, that was actually a massive, massive, massive contribution from the Warriors bench. Livingston had 11 points. Looney chucked in 14 as well, including 4 offensive rebounds out of his 5, which are pretty great. Jordan Bell chucked in 4 points. McKinney, he got out there for 5 minutes, did nothing. Jerebko had 2 points in his 12 minutes. And Quinn Cook, in the absence of Kevin Durant, Steve Kerr sort of has to go like way smaller, and suddenly there's like 16 Quinn Cook minutes. He went 1 of 5, but it didn't matter. Steph took over in the second half, and the fourth quarter, they just flexed and flexed and flexed. And the Rockets just couldn't keep up. And there you go. Once more, the Golden State Warriors beat the Rockets. And they win 4-2 this time. It went 7 games last year and only went 6 this year. Houston, once more, losing on their home court to the Warriors too. Don't forget that. They lost in Game 7 last year. So Warriors through to the Western Conference Finals once more. What's that, 5 straight? Jesus. Absolutely crazy, mate. Good job. All right, for the other West series, we had Portland-Denver this morning. Portland, Game 7 winners, 196 over Denver. This was the CJ McCollum game. We can easily like just typify all 3 of these games over the weekend. We had the Steph Curry second half game and the Houston bottle it. CJ McCollum game for Portland-Denver. And the Kawhi game there in Toronto. So Portland win 196. This is a wild game. I'm up with the little bloke, fucking early bells. Sitting there going, shit, this is like the only time like having the Sprog fucking wake up has worked out great. I get to watch this from the start. It was awesome. So great game. Nuggets got up 17 early. It was absolutely wild, but they sort of let them hang around. And then, I don't know, Zach Collins started doing stuff. It was just kind of all a little bit screwy. And Portland just kind of kept going. Dame was having a Barry Crocker shocker. But when you got Myers Leonard, Zach Collins throwing in some good minutes, Kanter had some points early. Then they sort of just rode CJ to the end. And Dame also finally hit a couple of threes. He went 1 of 12 before the fourth quarter. Hit a massive corner three with 3 minutes left. The Nuggets, for their part, they missed 17 straight three-pointers. Can you believe it? So while Joker and Jamal Murray are out there missing threes, Evan Turner and CJ McCollum take over in the fourth quarter and run away with this. Absolutely wild. Denver's fourth quarter shooting was 7 of 24, including 0 of 6 from downtown. Whoa. Look, Portland's three-point shooting was horrible as well. Absolutely horrible. But it didn't matter because Denver's was worse. The Trailblazers went 4 of 26. And you're like, that's fucking fucked. Yeah, but the Nuggets shot 2 of 19. Ugh. Anyway, so CJ and Evan Turner take over. CJ hits a beautiful couple of little runners and just gets going. And the block that he had on Jamal Murray pretty much sealed it. Absolutely wild. CJ McCollum. That's right. Oh, the block by James. That's right. It was basically like LeBron's from behind block that CJ had on Jamal, and it was absolutely wild. And Mike Breen nearly came up with the exact same call, but he stopped it. He's like halfway through saying it, then he pulled the pin away. Wait, no, send CJ McCollum a huge block. Yeah, it was pretty good. But anyway, I mean, the Nuggets, look, they let Evan Turner go off. He had scored 4 points all series. He went off for 10 in the fourth quarter, which was fucking wild. The Nuggets as a team shot 37%, including that 2 of 19 from 3, which was horrible. The Joker just really couldn't get it going. He went, 29 points, 13 rebounds. It was very, very good. 11 of 26 shooting. The efficiency wasn't quite there. 2 of 6 from downtown as well. And look, he pulled a couple of those threes out of his ass in the fourth, and you're like, all right, he's going to try it. And he missed them, and you're like, oh, this is not happening for the Nugs. Jam and Jamal had an absolute horrendous night. One to forget for old Jam and Jamal Murray. 17 points on 4 of 18 shooting. Yeesh. Paul Thrillsap is now Paul Grillsap. That's where he went straight to after this game. 10 points, 7 rebounds, 3 of 13 for Thrillsap. Mate, $30 million, 3 of 13 shooting. It should not buy me. The Dartsman, Gary Harris, same sort of thing. Gary, mate, You're being paid to hit threes. You went 0 of 1 from downtown in this game, 15 points. Torrey Daniel Craig, former NBL legend, 8 points, 8 rebounds for him as well. Played his ass off too. Did some great stuff to Torrey, but just couldn't stop them when it mattered. And for the bench, the Nugs, I mean, they needed more than 17 points at home and 6 of 16 shooting. Will the Thrill Barton at 8. Monty Morris actually showed up a little bit, 5 points for him. Plum Dog Millionaire had 4 and 6 and 2 blocks in his 19 minutes. And Malik Beasley, though, missed all 8 shots over his last 2 games. In 7 minutes today, went 0 of 1 for a classic 0-1-0-1-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-1 foul. 0. The old binary Beasley, they call him. Don't know when he turned into Michael Beasley, but it was sometime before Game 6. Malik, you're killing me. For the Blazers part, though, they finally out-rebounded the Nuggets in this game, and it made a huge difference. They out-rebounded them only 51-55, but they did it. And there was only 4 turnovers to 5 turnovers in this game, too. But they shot 40%, so 3% better, and won this game, which was wild. They had 4 more attempts. They shot 41% versus 37%. So you'll take that. You get the win. Great shit. CJ just absolutely slayed this game. 37 points, came alive in the fourth quarter. It was absolutely wild. 17-29 for him. A huge block, 0 turnovers as well. We're going to talk about that in a second. And it was needed because Dame Lillard had a rough-as-guts night, didn't he? 13 points. He did chuck in 10 rebounds and 8 assists, but only 1 turnover, 3 of 17 shooting, but 2 of 9 from 3. And they came at pretty crucial junctures, didn't they? He's like, ah, shit, we need to stay ahead. 3! We need to stay ahead. 3! So Dame time. Eventually rocked up. Pretty good. Enos the Penis Cantor. Gee, they really love talking about Ramadan, don't they? It's like, yeah, we get that he doesn't, you know, he's fasting. No shit. And it's like this weird, like, oh, so he has to wake up and he can't eat or drink during sunlight hours. It's, oh, it's such, it's like, yeah, we get it. No shit. It's Ramadan. Fucking hell, mate. Anyway, good job, Enos. 6 of 13, 12 points, 13 rebounds. Pretty tough to watch on defense, though, for a lot of this one. Don't be more heartless. 6 points, 5 rebounds for Mo in 17 minutes, and Chief Amino was only out there for 7 minutes as well. But it was the bench that came through for the Blazers on the road, which was wild. Zachy Cakes Collins, 4 blocks after he had 5 in Game 6. He was massive. Played a lot of the game with 5 fouls, too, in his 23 minutes. 7 points, 5 rebounds. The villain, Evan Turner, as mentioned, absolutely wild. Went 0 points in 5 out of the previous 6 games. And then, bang, 14 points in this one, 10 in the fourth quarter. Some clutch-ass free throws down the stretch, 10 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, and 0 turnovers. That bumps his numbers up, I think, to 21 assists versus 2 turnovers for the entire series. Wild times. Set the shit one, Curry. He was pretty shit in this one. 0 of 2 from the field, 0 points. Was a plus 7 however, which was wild. It's pretty weird. Rodney Spud Hood had a very good series and then left with a left knee, which looked like a hyperextension. Finished with 6 points. We didn't have an update on Rodney Hood either, well, which sucked. And Myers Leonard got out there and did some running around for 7 minutes and showing off the guns. 2 points on your Myers, but there you go. Can you believe it? CJ McCollum says, I did it, Jennifer. I did it. And he got there. He got the win, 37 points, a huge game from the Lehigh Star. Taking Game 7 on the road, Portland become the first lower seed to advance so far this playoffs. They take it 4-3, a huge win for the ages. Great job, Blazers. And finally today, Toronto, in Toronto, beat the Philadelphia Australian Sixers, 92-90. Heartbreaker. Heartbreaker. Horrible game to start off, though, wasn't it? Jesus Christ. 13 points for Philly in the first quarter. Toronto's defense was out there. But the thing is, it was only 18-13 after the first quarter, which is crazy. So the Sixers went a little bit wild, got up 4 in the middle of the second. They brought on Greg Moose Munro and then were suddenly down 4. Kawhi had 15 in the half. It was pretty great. He had a couple of quick buckets in the start of the third as well. But then Philly, out of nowhere, went on a 16-0 run. Stunningly enough, some paint touches for Joel Embiid. And Tobias Harris actually, you know, making a couple of shots, gave them a huge run, 16-0 run in a 4.5-minute stretch where Toronto just didn't do anything. Pretty crazy at this point as well. Kawhi had taken 26 of their 59 shots at this point. He ends up taking 39 shots, does Kawhi. Absolutely crazy. But the problem was, I mean, Philly couldn't get a rebound, and then down the stretch, Kawhi starts going off, heaps going on, Embiid hits a three. They're like, oh, they're feeling all right. They're feeling it. And then Philly's rebounding just sucked. The iconic photo from this series is going to be Kawhi Leonard hitting that doinker and it dropping and winning the series as a buzzer beater. But the more iconic idea of this game is three sixers standing around as a lone Raptor somehow gets another offensive rebound. Offensive rebounding went 16-5 in favor of Toronto. Absolute shocking display by the Philadelphia 76ers. Ben Simmons could have been doing a lot more, you feel like, and Joel Embiid is just pretty gassed. I mean, the poor dude played 45 minutes, but pretty rough to watch. And look, Embiid ended up with 11 rebounds, Simo with 8, but yeah, they still got out-rebounded 49-41 and 16-5 offensive rebounds. So tough as guts. And obviously, look, the biggest letdown for the Sixers was where there was a pretty much a wild stretch for, was it, 3.5 minutes where Philly didn't score a field goal. There was four straight possessions where Philly just ran out of time, turned the ball over, or chucked up a shot at the end of the shot clock with no time left that was blocked. I mean, absolutely wild. So JJ Redick hits the last sort of and one field goal with 3.5 minutes left. The next Philly field goal, this includes timeouts, where Brett Brown's had time to, like, you know, draw shit up. They score the next field goal with 4 seconds left as Jimmy Butler scrambles off a rebound and gets a layup to tie it up. And then, Kawhi happens. Absolutely wild. 39 field goal attempts out of the 89 total field goal attempts of the Raptors. And the last one bounces around the rim 4 times, eventually drops. Canadia in raptures. Kawhi, the Kawhi bot, shows a little bit of emotion. He's a fun guy. Kawhi, runhappiness.exe. Absolutely crazy. Kawhi also broke the record for most field goal attempts in a regulation game 7 in NBA history. Elgin Baylor still has a record of 40 in an overtime game 7 in 1961. But Jesus. So there you go. Sixers lose. They're done. It's all over. 92-90. Kawhi. A buzzer-beating, series-winning two-pointer. Sending the Sixers home. Sixers shot 43%. 28 of 65 attempts. They took 24 less shots than the Raptors. 24! They had a total of 65 field goal attempts to 89. Gee, I can't see where they lost it. Anyway, the offensive rebounding, as mentioned, was horrible. 9 of 27 from 3, 15 turnovers, out-rebounded. Absolutely brutal. Embiid, look, he was all right. 21 and 11, 4 assists, 3 blocks. Left his heart and soul out there. Plus 10 for the game. Could have done a little bit with the less of the three-point shooting. 1 of 6 from downtown for the big fella. 6 of 18 for overall. It was striking that every time the Sixers went to the post and tried to create with Embiid there, it worked. And they went on a 16-0 run. As soon as they go away from it, suddenly they can't fucking score. Now, I'm no math scientist, but when you're up going 16-0 runs, maybe you should keep doing that sort of stuff. Wild. Jimmy Butler has 16 points on 5 of 14 shooting, but did tie it up at the very end. And look, was the adult in the room at times, but at the same time, he also went 1 of 6 from 3-point land and wasn't great. Tobias Harris went missing in a surprising turn of events in a big moment. 15 points, 10 rebounds for him. Big Simo, Ben Simmons, disappointing too. 13-8-5 on only 5 field goal attempts. He had as many field goal attempts as he did turnovers. Jesus. Killing me, Ben. Killing me. 3 blocks though. He was pretty good, but couldn't quite contain Kawhi. To be fair, I'm not sure, entirely sure if Kawhi could contain Kawhi at this point. JJ Redick hit 4 threes on his way to 17 points and only 8 points off the bench for the Sixers. That was James Ennis with 6 and Mike Scott, the regional manager, with 2. Only 1 made 3 between them. And when Moose Monroe was out there, his total of 2 minutes, the Sixers were a minus 9 in 2 minutes. It's going to be some sort of fucking record, Moose. Jesus, he's a spud. Anyway, Jonah Bolden didn't get out there, so yeah, you get that on the big jobs. For the Raps, Pascal Siakam was shitting the bed as hard as he could, and the Sixers could not take advantage of it. He had a big shot late, though, 11 points and 11 rebounds for the MIP on 11 field goal attempts. Marc Gasol, the coach killer, had 11 rebounds as well with 7 points, 3 of 8 shooting. Hit a couple late that were pretty big. 1 of 4 from downtown for the big fella, the big El Spinato. Kyle Lowry, big booty Kyle Lowry, 10 points for him. 6 rebounds, 6 assists on 13 shot attempts, though. 4 of 13. Kyle Lowry went missing in his playoff game. Didn't matter. Had Kawhi. Danny the Boxer, not the Boxer Green, 1 of 3 as well for him for 2 points. So you're going to be sitting there going, oh, geez, James, how did they bloody well beat the Sixers? I'll tell you. Serge Ibaka. 6 of 10 from the field. 3 of 5 from downtown for Serge. 17 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. Absolutely huge balls on Serge Ibaka. After an absolute shocker of a playoffs up until basically this point, it's pretty much like this game. He's done like anything. He had a total of 9 points through the first 2 games, a total of 13 points for the first 3 games against the Sixers. And then today he comes out and drops 17 on 60% shooting and 60% from downtown. Absolutely wild scenes there from Serge. But obviously, he also had 4 offensive rebounds out of his 8, which is pretty great. But the clear-cut difference between the teams was the man who decided to shoot it 39 times, almost in a tribute to Kobe. 41 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, 16 of 39, including 2 of 9 from downtown for Kawhi. He's a fun guy, and he hits the game-winning, buzzer-beating, series-ending shot. They'll echo around the high plains of Canada for years and years and years. Great job, Kawhi. And there you go, Toronto. They're through. I mean, even with Fred VanVleet of the Fightin' VanVleet sucking up, went 0 of 5 did the Fightin' Man, but he did have 4 free throws and he hit all of them. But and he had a steal that really hurt my heart on Big Simo Ben Simmons too. So I don't know, man. I feel like Ben Simmons shouldn't be having the ball stolen by Fred VanVleet in a Game 7. But anyway, there you go. Raptors through. 4-3 winners over the Big Simo-led Philadelphia 76ers. So, all right, we're going to pour one out for the Sixers. All right, we're going to clap them off because that's it for the season for you, Sixers. All right, we're going to clap them off, clap them off, clap them off, clap them off. Yeah, there you go. And what about you, Nuggets?
Denver Nuggets, playoffs, 2009. You know we had to do it.
Yeah, nah. Nah, nah, nah. It's all over, Denver. It's all over. Yeah, there you go. Well, it was good while it lasted. Clap him off. And finally, yeah, it was pretty good, but at the same time, Houston, it's all over. Ah, wasn't that sad, was it? Clap him off, though. Yeah, I mean, it's also me sort of blowing a party popper that I don't have to watch fucking James Harden anymore. But there you go, it's all done. We have the Milwaukee, I hear it's Algonquin for the Goodland Bucks versus the Toronto Raptors. The 1-2 seeds in the East playing the 1-3 in the West, where we have the Golden State Warriors and the Portland Trailblazers. Unbloody real. All right, we're going to take a break right now and be back with the NBA Stray Approved Performance of the Night and everything. We're going to split this up because we've already gone long. So we're back in just a bloody second, mate.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right. Nice one. Let's get into some segments now, shall we? Running late, but it's all right. We're just going to go through the segments and we're going to do some yeah nahs and then, you know, get in the previews and stuff because we've got no previews for tomorrow. So we're going to do Australian Player Watch and Andrew Gay's Grey Mum Award and that'll be it. So we'll be out of your hair prompter, mate. So let's get into it. The NBA Australia approved performance of the night.
That's not nice. That's a knife.
That was a knife. I mean, we got three of them. Steph Curry, 33 points in the second half. Absolutely bloody unreal. Only good for a half, though. How about CJ McCollum? 37 points on 29 shots. 1 of 3 from downtown. Absolutely crazy. 0 turnovers again for CJ, though, which is pretty crazy because that's 30 points and 0 turnovers in each of the last two games. He's only the third player with 30 points and 0 turnovers in consecutive playoff games since 1978. The other two people are Chauncey Billups, Billups, and Michael Jordan. Way to go, CJ. That's awesome, but come on, man. The approved performance of the night, Kawhi. Just crazy. The first game-winning buzzer beater in Game 7 in NBA history. It's the second one in a winner-take-all game alongside Jordan's The Shot, which obviously came in a Game 5. Absolutely nuts. To have the first ever Game 7 buzzer-beating game winner series ender. Kawhi, you absolute animal. But he was incredible today, wasn't he? Just like, he'd go, all right, fuck it, I'm going to take over. All right, you just need me to score? Fuck it. 39 shots, here we go. Let's do the damn thing. And he did the damn thing. Great job, Kawhi. What about old mate, no mates, though?
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Is it James Harden and Chris Paul? I mean, come on. If you're that good, surely you can get past a wounded Warriors team without their best player. That's right. I don't know when CP3 and James Harden turned into Stockton and Malone, but they're not even because they've never even made the bloody finals. Yeah. Anyway, so it's been nice to see all the flamethrowers come after the old CP3 and James Harden because look, if there's ever a time you're going to get past them, James and Christopher, surely it's when they're without Boogie, when they're without Durant, they're playing Quinn fucking Cook 16 minutes. This is your opportunity. This is your time. Suddenly Eric Gordon goes off the fucking reservation and James Harden is like, oh, I don't know, man. I got like reservations at this strip joint like tonight. Be easy if we don't win, so... Anyway, they're definitely old mate, no mates, because no one else really stepped up for the old Rockets there. But at the same time, they're old mate, no mates, because they've got no one to blame but themselves. The ball is in their hands. The Rockets' fate is in their hands. And once more, the Rockets came up short. Jesus. There's probably some off-color joke about NASA. I'm not going to make it. What about Spud of the Night, however?
Spud of the night.
Look, you could have given this to Dame Lillard, 3 of 17 shooting, but he did hit a couple of threes at very important junctures. We've been through that. So how about Paul Grillsap and Jamal Jammin' Murray? 10 points and 7 rebounds for Grillsap on 3 of 13 shooting, including 0 of 2 from downtown, and Jamal Murray, 4 of 18. Now, if you're counting along at home, that's 7 of 31, including 0 of 6 from 3. Jeez. Reckon the rest of the Nuggets sputtered it up a little bit? Jesus, that's bad. So, Paul Grillsap and Jammin' Jamal Murray, spuds of the night. Panting of the night is Jamal Murray getting got by CJ McCollum. Anytime you can get blocked by a guy who's like your own height, just hurts you in the hat. But especially the come from behind, bang up against the backboard. Great job by CJ and Jammin' Jamal up there singing the national anthem in front of the school and being pantsed at assembly. Just tough, man. You hate to see it. And also just Houston in general. You're up 7 in the fourth. You're at home. You are meant to win those games. How can you not win these games, Houston? What is wrong with you? Jesus, you just can't beat the Warriors, huh? We're going to talk about that later. And final, well, actually, we've got two more. We've got better than Lonzo Ball. Let's do that.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. As long as sitting at home and scratching my nuts while watching the playoffs on telly is coming for everybody because that means it's balling season.
It's balling season.
Where balling season is scratching your nuts on the couch. Bevan Lonzo Ball for today is Zachy Cakes Collins. Yes.
He does look like a 32-year-old lesbian who just bought her first Subaru Outback. But he also chucked in 7 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, and had 4 blocks that were unreal. Played with 5 fouls for a lot of this game was unreal in that time. 2 of 6 from the field, 1 of 3 from downtown. And you might say, but James, 7 points and 4 rebounds and 4 blocks isn't that much better than what Lonzo Ball could do. But, well, we don't know, because Lonzo Ball's never made the playoffs. Makes you think. Yeah. Meanwhile, he's sitting in Calabasas listening to his dad rant and rave about how he's never lost. Anyway, finally, Dickhead of the Weekend.
Dickhead of the Week!
And Kurt Rambis, once more, he won it last week because he's undercutting Ty Lue and going, look, I'm basically kind of in charge around here. I know basketball better than everyone. Meanwhile, Magic Johnson's like, I fucking hate this guy. I'm going to quit. Rob Pelinka's like, hey, did you know that I know Kobe? Hey guys, I'm like Kobe's mate. And everyone's like, fuck, is Kurt really in charge? And it's like, yeah, I guess. He's Jenny Buss's best mate's husband. He must be in charge. No one has the balls to go, wait, he went 41 and 151 last time he was a coach. Should we maybe trust this guy? And everyone's like, oh, it doesn't matter. It's the Lakers. Then he goes and hires Frank Vogel and Jason Kidd, which will be a completely fine situation, no doubt.
Watch your back, Frank.
But also, Dickhead of the Weekend can go to anyone who was giving Joel Embiid shit for being a bit tearful after losing today. Fuck you. I'm on board with that sort of passion from dudes who play sport because that shit hurts. If you're out there calling him a baby, then you've probably never busted your ass for something and failed and had it hurt like hell. So blow it out your ass. Anyone criticizing Joel Embiid for showing emotion, tearing up a bit, go fuck yourselves. Good on you, Joel. That's awesome. It's what you want to see from people. They give a fuck. Love that. All right, we'll be back with the NRs right after this.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, now we're cruising along. Jesus. Winners and losers took a while. So did the rap. So anyway, let's do yeah, nah. We take a bunch of NBA storylines to decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one, was that the Rockets' last best chance at being the Warriors? Yeah, nah. Yeah, it was their best. I don't know if it'll be their last, though, because KD's going to bounce to the Knicks or the Nets this summer, which will level the playing field a little bit more. And if Chris Paul can stay healthy again next year, you figure he's got one more year in him. But at the same time, it was their last best chance because they're without Durant already. They're without Boogie. You've already sort of, you've got them there. Chris Paul's healthy. Your entire team's healthy. Just do it, Rockets. And you shit the bed. Nice. Number two. Is James Harden just a bearded Karl Malone? Yeah, nah. At least Karl Malone made the finals. I mean, this is an interesting one. A bearded Karl Malone, James Harden. I'm more interested in whether or not in a couple of years, if we turn around and look at James Harden the way we look at Allen Iverson now, right? Like, talented but ultimately flawed. And you're like, well, you know, he at least AI dragged the team to the finals. Harden hasn't even done that yet. Yeah, 36 points a game is pretty fucking good. Efficiency is good. But come on, man. Where's the fucking chutzpah to get you over the hump? Karl Malone never had it. Maybe James Harden doesn't have it. Anyway, Lakers. Is Frank Vogel a good hire for the Lakers? The Lakers. No. Are you fucking kidding me? Kidding. The emphasis being on the kidding. The dude was a train wreck in Orlando. Look, I liked him going there because he could sort of be a mentor to a young team, build it up. But he was useless doing that. And it really makes you wonder how much of like the defensive sort of nous that he had in Indiana was really just like Roy Hibbert playing above and beyond for like 2 years, prime David West and like good young Paul George with good young George Hill. And then he just couldn't replicate shit in Orlando. Stinks up the joint, gets shit canned, and now the Lakers are like, oh, this guy's our savior. I mean, what? Are you fucking high?
stay off the weed.
Exactly. I mean, holy shit. The best part is, how's he expected to coach the goddamn Lakers when he's going to be looking over his fucking shoulder every time that LeBron's whispering to J-Kid every day? That's brutal. Which brings up the question, hey, will Frank Vogel make it to the All-Star break next year? Yeah, nah. No fucking way. They're going to start out 12-16. There's going to be rumors floating around straight away that LeBron prefers Kid's voice in the locker room. And then bang, Vogel is out of there. I love it. Absolutely love it. So I guess finally, is hiring Vogel and Kid a horrible decision? Yeah, nah. Fucking obviously, yeah. Kid was so bad that the Nets chose Billy King over him. Just think about that for a second. The Nets chose Billy King, the orchestrator of one of the worst single trades in the history of the NBA. They chose that guy over Jason Kidd sticking around and like sort of just being involved. They ran him out of town in Milwaukee because he didn't know his ass from his elbow as a coach. It was like, oh, but he was really good for Giannis. Fucking prove it. How do we know that Giannis wouldn't have been amazing anyway? Fuck you. Anyway, Vogel and Kidd, hilarious. I love it. Great job, Lakers. Great job. What else? A bit of wrap up from the Nuggets. Are the Nuggets going to be okay? Yeah. They're going to be fine. I already mentioned that early. Jamal Young. Joker. Young. First trip to the playoffs for them as well. Don't forget. They missed out last year. That's how young they are. It's their first year. They went to the second round. Good stuff. Bit of a disappointment to lose game 7 on your home court. But hey, man. Mike Malone's a good coach. They got a good team. They'll be fine. The flip side, are the Sixers trash? It's hard. 4 max guys and JJ Redick on the court. 3.5 minutes left in the game. You make 1 basket on a Jimmy Butler breakaway layup with 4 seconds left in the game in a game 7. So many bad turnovers. So much horrible lack of awareness from JJ Redick and Jimmy Butler and Embiid resulting in turnovers down the stretch. The shot clock expirings absolutely fucking kill me. The lack of rebounding where we've got 3 Philly dudes standing around looking at the ball as a Raptor player just like swoops in and goes, oh, I'll take that then, you fucking idiots. Absolutely wild. I think we're just going to be debating the Sixers all offseason, and I think it's going to be tumultuous. It's going to be very interesting, and it'll be really good to see Ben Simmons come back with a jump shot. Finally, this one was thrown out there by Mad Dogs on Twitter. Kawhi, has there ever been a more crushing series ending? Was that more insane than Dame Lillard's series ender over OKC 2 weeks ago? Yeah, nah. I mean, yeah, that was better than Dame's because it was a game 7. The seconds of silence as that ball bounced off the iron once, not twice, not thrice, but quadrice. Was absolutely amazing because he had the dunk, 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 dunk. Place erupts. Absolutely fucking crazy. They mob Kawhi. It's absolutely unreal. Dame's massive game winner was awesome. I get that. But it was also game 5. You've done the damn thing. Cool. Great job, Dame. On ya. Kawhi, game 7. Balls on the line. First ever game 7 buzzer beater. Absolutely unreal. Great job, Kawhi. All right, unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
I actually think that the Blazers can give the Warriors a bit of a run for their money. People seem to be very down on Portland's chances in this so far. I feel a little bit better about it. We're going to do some Western Conference, you know, and Eastern Conference finals previews tomorrow. But at the right off the top of your head, Steph and Dame is awesome, and CJ and Clay is also great. You've got a lot of rangy, sort of biggish kind of dudes on Portland to throw at them. You know they're not going to back down. It's going to be fun. Cantor could be a bit of a problem in the middle if he's okay to go. I reckon that's pretty fun. So Portland, I reckon they could give the Warriors a little bit of a run for their money. Nice. Wouldn't that be great? Milwaukee-Portland in the finals. All right. Finally, it's Monday at Outback. And you know what that means at Outback Takehouse. Alice Springs Chicken is on the special board today. That's right, Davo hit a couple of emus on his way to work, so we cooked them up for you. Nice and special. That's right, Alice Springs Chicken. Only at Outback Takehouse. And today's flame grill take is
Not only is Kawhi Leonard better than Kobe Bryant, he's also now proven to be more clutch than Kobe. Only at Outback. All right, Australian Player Watch, right after this.
Oh, kia ora, Bruce. This is Stephen Adams, eh, Brew? And you're listening to NBA Stream, eh? Cheer, Brew.
All right, let's do it. Australian Player Watch. Hate having to do it, but farewell our sweet prince, Ben Simmons, Big Simmo, Ben Simmons, Box Hill Benny. Killing me. Game 7 against the Raptors today, as mentioned, 13 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 5 turnovers, 5 field goal attempts, hit 4 of them. Did go 5 of 6 from the free throw line, which is very heartening. Still, it's these games where you look at Ben Simmons and go, you still should have looked for your shot a little bit more, because don't forget, in these playoffs, they went 4-0, did the Sixers, when Ben Simmons scored 15 or more points. They went 3-4 when he didn't. Now, he scored 13 points today. They lost by 2. When he scores 15, don't forget, they haven't lost these playoffs. Hurts my heart. All right, we're going to wrap up his season tomorrow as well. And same goes for Jonah Bolden, son of Bruce, who didn't get out there today. With a DMP coach's decision. Andrew Bogut, though, started game 6 for the Warriors. 12 minutes for Big Bogey. 0 points, 0 of 1 from the field, though. 3 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 block. On your Bogey. Great work. All right, we're going to wrap up Big Simo, Ben Simmons, and Jonah Bolden's seasons tomorrow and stuff. But in the meantime, it's Monday. What do we do on Mondays? Oh, is it time for the Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence? You know it is. It's the first and you won the Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award. All right, clap it up, clap it up, clap, 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 clap. Yep, 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 yep. Good stuff. All right, so the Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence today goes to... Look, you'd think it's Kawhi, but at the same time, the dude took 39 shots. You know? Which is just it's a lot. He was absolutely excellent. 41 points. 39 shots, though. Kobe, 16 of 39. I'm not going to quite do it. I'm going to give this to Steph Curry just because 33 points in a half. 23 points in the fourth quarter. Now that is Grey Mamba-esque. 6 of 8 from the field and 3 of 5 from 3 in that fourth quarter to bury the Rockets was absolutely ridiculous. As we said at the top, the legend continues to grow and it's the point where it's like Steph is now just almost inevitable. 0 of 5 in the first half, turns around and has one of the most amazingly excellent halves of basketball you could ever have. 33 points in the half, 23 in a fourth quarter in an elimination game. Totally Grey Mamba-esque, just the way the Gazy would routinely tear their heart out of chumps like the Illawarra Hawks and North Melbourne Giants. Absolutely wild. Great stuff. All right, what about the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in? Well, today this one goes to Jinglin' Joe Ingles. And he's back in Oz. He's absolutely smashing the tweet. It's great. But he did tweet out a very, very, very nice one, did Joe Ingles, saying today... Well, he actually retweeted a picture from Jeff Lund saying, best Mother's Day gift ever given. At Lundmum, at Joe Ingles, hashtag autism awareness. And it's a whole bunch of the autism awareness shoes that Joe Ingles had. Joe Ingles retweeted this saying, this legend bought all our autism awareness shoes. He paid a lot of money for them, which is going to our charity at 4ASD Kids Charity. Thank you, Jeff. Your support will go a long way. Blue heart emoji. Puzzle piece emoji. Absolutely unreal. Great job, Jeff Lund. Great job, Joe Ingles. Way to raise a bunch of money. Absolutely legendary. That's inspiring and a half, isn't it? Great stuff. Great stuff. All right, let's do the game previews.
Game preview. What? But there's no games tomorrow.
I know, inadvertent Bane. Isn't that worrying?
I mean, yes.
Yeah, I'm going to go out for fucking brunch. Anyway, tomorrow we are going to look at the draft odds and do previews of the conference finals and stuff. So, you know what? That's the end of today's show.
absolutely wild. We have our conference finalists. We're going to preview the conference finals tomorrow. We're going to look at the draft lottery odds and make a pick and preview of that, I reckon. And then on actual Wednesday, we'll be wrapping up the draft lottery, my third favorite day of the year, as well as Portland at Warriors game one. So that'll be awesome. But yeah, Tuesday, we will still have a show tomorrow. Just going to be a big preview show for the conference finals, and you're going to love it. So we're back tomorrow. Don't ever doubt that we wouldn't be. And in the meantime, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facebook, IG, all that good shit. We're all over the socials. Get around NBAAustralia.com. If you're going to go buy some shit from Amazon, first go to NBAAustralia.com, click on the giant fucking Amazon button on the right-hand side, then go buy all your shit, and they kick us a couple of shekels on the back end. It's awesome. As for the podcast, make sure you check us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, whatever fucking app you use on your Android phones. I don't know, there's a million of them. If there's like a rating system, mash it or I'll fight ya. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. Their debut album, Running Out of Time, is out now. It's an absolute pearler. The t-shirt is awesome. Anyway, big thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you heard throughout the show. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp and Facey. And remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. And that is it for today. We are back tomorrow. Should be a quick one tomorrow, but it should be good. And we're going to finish off today's show with a brand new Deli review, as Deli reviews the new Netflix movie, Wine Country. Sure. All right, man. That's it for today. We'll catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, later, Jose. Oi, 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 how the fuck are you? Gerald, mate, Dally over here, just swing a boy NBA Australia for my usual pop culture review, eh? So, I don't know, how y'all going? You been watching the playoffs and shit? Tell you what, reckon a lot of those teams could use a bit of a defense first point guard, eh? Just saying, yeah. Anyway, great job by Toronto and Portland and shit. And a hearty go fuck yourselves to my old team Milwaukee for trading me away and my bunny team Golden State. Falls out there. Do you really, really fucking think that the Rockets wouldn't have beaten fucking Golden State with me locking down Steph Curry? Yeah, get fucked. And I still can't believe I got fucking traded for Spud George Hill. Now runs Barnes smoke up his ass because he hit a few fucking shots. Like I wouldn't have fucking dominated Kyrie and bloody Terry Rozier, ain't he? Anyway, like I play with Kyrie. Reckon I don't know how to get in his head? You just say some shit about government conspiracies and getting a plane around the globe, and he's fucked, mate. Anyway, I'm not bitter, but best of luck to everybody. Anyway, so a bit of downside to all this basketball talk, though. I've been off, working out in the off-season. You can keep up with me workouts and recoveries and shit on my website and on my Twitter and my Instagram and shit. It's fucking gross. Just showing you how it's all done, mate. But with that, the missus, she got one back this week. She's like, oh, fucking Deli, good. All we've been doing is watching basketball and you've been working out. Oh, I get to pick the bloody movie this week. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Yeah, all right. I guess it is Mother's Day and shit. So, yeah, the missus made us watch that new chick flick on Netflix. Wine Country, eh? And, I tell ya, look. It's got all those funny Sheilas in it. Like the Parks and Rec chick, Amy Poehler, the bridesmaid chick, Maya Rudolph, even that little chick from SNL. What's her name? Rachel Dratch and shit. And that fucking 30 Rock lady, the other chick from SNL, Tina Fey. Yeah, pretty good. I'm sitting there like, oh, fuck, here we go. Movie about some chick turning 50 and drinking wine. Oh, here we go. Watch out. Oh, jeez. And I'll tell ya, it's not too bad, eh? Like, in fact, it was downright touching. I love that Paula Pell. She's funny as shit, mate. And it was bloody heartwarming too. Like a steak sanger from my favourite Mirabara milk bar. Lots of great scenes about wine and paella and the nanny and shit. So, yeah, pretty funny. And I mean, look, it's not my type of movie, you know. Didn't have any explosions or the rock in it. But sometimes you just got to take one for the team and let your Sheila pick the movie. Especially on Mother's Day. So, Wine Country was bloody fun as it gets about 15 out of 10 Deli ones. And here's a special thanks to my mum, Mama Deli. You're the bloody best and I love your guts. All right, so that's it.
Wine Country's good. Go watch her or go fuck yourselves. I'll be back next week in NBA Australia with another pop culture review, eh? Later, cunts. Dally out.